flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Host Committee's Media Center Radio Row as things are being broken down all around us. Man. Seeing the Sirius XM signs, the Bleacher Report stuff coming down, the Lowe's Lounge being taken apart. Here with Jeff Nowak.
Lowe's Lounge.
Yeah, right over there.
I see it. I would never have referred to it as the Lowe's Lounge, but I see what you're saying.
I didn't get to go into there, but I did see Gronko in there earlier.
Yeah, they didn't let me in. They had it roped off.
It was VIP access.
I did not make the cut, apparently. And that's fine. That's fine. The Lowe's Lounge is too cool for me.
Checking out some of the interviews that we got during the week. Jeff, you were here early the other day and just like started banging them out all over the place. And you recently sat down with the FanDuel
Executive Vice President of Marketing, Andrew Snaid.
Talking about the Kick of Destiny coming up at the Manning.
Which, you know, I normally wouldn't spend a lot of time talking to someone about a major marketing thing, but having it involve the Mannings and some of these commercials they've had are objectively hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's part of what we talked about was like, I think the Mannings had a second career in comedy that they never really fully got to explore. Because these are funny people.
That was the thing I feel like we saw with Peyton Manning when he did SNL. Yes. We're like, wow,
these
great.
These guys have actual comic timing, and you wouldn't think that for a couple people who grew up in a quarterback bubble who've been famous their entire lives, because comedy is all about shared experiences, which what do they have? Shared experiences, but they still have that funny, that comic gene, and you know, we got into a bit of that, so I guess we could just play it rather than talk about it.
Andrew Snaid on our Treasure Chest Casino virtual power seat. Here's what he had to say to Jeff earlier this week.
Back in on Sports Talk, the Big 870, FM 105.3, and always free on the Odyssey app. I'm Jeff Nowak, still live on Radio Row, where we have taken up residence over the last few days, and we're bringing in Andrew Snaid, the Executive Vice President of Marketing at FanDuel, and, you know, people close to our hearts in New Orleans, the Manning family, the first family of quarterbacking in the city of New Orleans. Why don't you just tell us what's been going on? We've all seen the commercials, the gigantic banners on buildings downtown
New
Orleans.
Yeah, I hope people can't miss it.
Yeah, just give us a rundown on what's been going on there.
Yeah, this was a natural place for the Manning brothers to break their Super Bowl tie when we had the opportunity to bring Kick of Destiny 3 to life with May the Best Manning Win. You know, where this game's going to be played just minutes from where they grew up and went to school, and it just felt like the perfect place and the perfect way for us to bring an interesting twist on the Kick of Destiny. They both won two Super Bowls. They've never played against each other on Super Bowl Sunday until this weekend, and one of them is going to get the eternal bragging rights for having three wins on Super Bowl Sunday. We look forward to seeing how it all plays out.
Yeah, why don't you just give a breakdown of like what all that is, the Kick of Destiny? I know it started with Gronk, and it's kind of built from there. But how does that play out, and how is it kind of organized?
Yeah, and it's different this year. So it started as a live Super Bowl commercial in the Super Bowl. Hey, can we cut live to Gronk trying to make a field goal? Apparently the answer is no. There was a lot of wind in the desert in Arizona. And then we gave him a chance to do it again in year two. And you could pick whether he was going to make or miss. And everyone that picked miss won their share of $10 million bonus bet bucks. And this year we evolved it, and it was interesting that we were able, because the campaign has grown and it had a lot of interest from fans, Fox participated with us, and now it's a live segment in the pregame show, as opposed to being something that we're against the clock and it needs to work in 30 seconds. So at 2 p.m. local here in New Orleans, they're going to come back from break in the Fox pregame, and Gronk and Cooper Manning will be the hosts of the kicking competition between the brothers. And so that'll be its own segment. It's at the stadium, just outside the half a stadium that we've made right there. Anyone that's going to the game has the opportunity to go and check it out. And we're just excited to see the natural competitiveness of these guys come out. And they are both very eager to win this.
I'm curious, is the majority of bettors optimists, or are they like, Gronk's not making a field goal? Like, how has that gone over the years? Because I've been curious.
Last year, there were more people that had faith in the big guy. So if you picked against him, your share of money was a little larger than it would have been if he had made it. And this year, you know, we saw immediate uptick. We got over 1 million people making picks just in the first week. Like, there's, it's a lot of fun. It's a free pick. It's a great way to start off your Super Bowl Sunday. Anyone that's a FanDuel customer here in Louisiana has the opportunity to just place the pick. Do you think it's Eli? Do you think it's Peyton? And just a fun way to kick off your sports betting day.
How has it been, you know, working with the Mannings? I've spent some time with all of them, talked to them, and the thing that strikes me with all of them is they're genuinely funny people. And you would assume that, like, these people who grew up in a quarterback bubble have been famous basically their entire lives, they wouldn't have kind of the comedic gene of, you know, the shared experience. But I've always found that their timing, you know, I've seen Peyton on SNL, and he's got that great skit where he's throwing footballs at the kids. And I got a kick out of the commercial. I didn't mean, no pun intended, where Peyton's...
pun can be intended.
Peyton's yelling at Eli, just going to have to be a quarterback like me and Dad. And I just, every time I see it, I crack up. I just, how much of this process has been collaborative with them in terms of the marketing?
Yeah, really collaborative. And it's because they're pros, and it's naturally authentic part of what they want to do. They're having fun with this thing.
Right.
Yeah, Peyton's probably been on more ad shoots than I have, and I've been doing this a while. They're really good at it. They have their own production team that we work with that's got so much fun content that's out there in social media. And the guys are genuinely competitive and good guys, but they want to win. And so when the agency came up with, you know how we're going to put a bit of twist on this, it turns out Eli grew up in the quarterback family, but his destiny was always to be a kicker. And of course, the big brother's going to try to make that not happen. And then it kind of just naturally comes out of them. When when they got that level of competitiveness in them, you can't get that fight out of the dog. And they're taking tips from kickers and not sharing them with each other. My favorite one is while we were shooting, Peyton had a sore leg. And Eli said, oh, no, I talked to Feagles, the former punter that he worked with. And he's like, dude, whatever you do, just 10 kicks at a time as you start practicing for this thing. Don't overdo it because you'll hurt yourself. And he purposely didn't tell his brother that to try to get one more leg up. And then on the other side, Eli was in Denver's camp working with Will Lutz saying, okay, I need you to tell me exactly what inflation of the ball I should have here and where I should strike it. So he's got Sharpie marks on the balls that he's using on Sunday for exactly where to make contact. Like, I don't need to make this part up. They are just that competitive, right, and they really want to win this thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, like, you can play up like, oh, they really want to beat each other. But, like, we'll go watch the Pro Bowl where they're coaching the flag football game, and you think, oh, they're just going to go out there and have it. No, they care.
Yeah.
They're not phoning it in. This isn't an act.
No.
Like, they're living and dying with every completion and touchdown. I'm sure they're treating this the same way. You know, I'm just curious, you know, this whole experience, Super Bowl, New Orleans, is this, you know, have you been in New Orleans before? How do you like it? What's your favorite part of this whole event so far?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to be in New Orleans a couple times. It's an amazing place for a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Everyone was excited that it was coming back here. It's a walkable city. It's set up for the number of people that need to come and have fun. So we were really excited that it was coming back here. And then, of course, great serendipity, destiny that we were able to work with the Manning brothers, and they're from here, so it's fantastic that, you know, they're a couple miles away from where they went to school as they break
right.
the tie for who's going to have ultimate bragging rights on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I wasn't here the last time. It was about 12 years ago the Super Bowl was here, but I kind of liken it to, you know, you have family coming over your house, so you clean it up real nice, like nicer than it ever is when you live there, and then, you know, everyone leaves and you kind of trash it again. You know, like that's kind of how it feels right now, because I've lived here since 2016. I have not seen the city like this pristine and this kind of...
It looks great.
Yeah. They
and
finished
it looks ready
road
for
projects
fun.
That have been going on for a decade. You're like, oh, it's finally done. There's no pothole in the street. It's fantastic. You know, Andrew, so what's the best meal you've had so far?
I had a wonderful burger last night at the hotel. I've only been here for one day, so I look forward to really getting into the New Orleans cuisine here over the next couple.
Yeah, I know it's funny. People ask me, like, oh, where should I go? And it's like, that's too simple of a question for New Orleans. When you see lists of places, it's always going to be broken down. Like, okay, you want a po' boy? Here's five places. You want steak? Here's five places. You want Cajun food? Here's five places. I just want to ask you about the game itself and from FanDuel's perspective, you know, the three-peat. How has that been received? Is there Pat Mahomes? Is there Chiefs fatigue right now? Because I have Chiefs fatigue. I don't know if that's reflected in the betting markets at all. But how is that easy to promote the three-peat, or does it become difficult over the years to keep getting the same team back there?
Well, this is a bit of an unfair question for me because I'm a huge Buffalo Bills fan, I definitely have Chiefs fatigue, but fans don't. I'm sure there's going to be still over 120 million viewers on Super Bowl Sunday. It's America's fans' pastime. So people are excited. There's always new storylines that are interesting. The fact that DeAndre Hopkins is like wide-eyed, looking at this first opportunity for him, or Saquon Barkley is someone to get excited about, even though, you know, maybe the Eagles have been there before. It's great. And yes, there is a little bit of America's got two villains facing each other, and we'll find the ways to find the hero in it.
No question. Well, again, Andrew Snade, Executive Vice President for Marketing for FanDuel, thanks so much for joining.
Thanks
Ticket
for having
Destiny,
me.
Eli and Peyton, tune in.
Everyone can open up the app right now and make their pick.
No question. Thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Jeff Nowak. This is Sports Talk on WWLAMFM.com. In the Odyssey app. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things. Like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back into the Host Committee Media Center on Radio Row in the Morio Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith & Soso. Checking in on our virtual Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat, going to Nick Friedel, Odyssey NBA Insider. Nick Friedel Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Nick, how you been doing? You survived the wild and crazy trade deadline.
Guys, I'm doing great. It's great to be with you. I only wish I was down there for Super Bowl week. But as usual with the trade deadline, it does feel like every time there's been a Super Bowl week the last few years, and I distinctly remember going back and forth to Phoenix when Durant got traded, and it took away – a lot of the buildup going into the Super Bowl. That the NBA, you know, they kind of lost Christmas here in the last few years of the NFL, but they absolutely have the hype of Super Bowl week, because it does seem like NBA news continues to pop during that moment in time.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, would you qualify this as the craziest trade deadline you've encountered? I mean, I don't remember a deadline that had this many, not just trades, but kind of league shaking trades, and it started obviously with Luka and Anthony Davis and, you know, Jimmy Butler, that whole saga. There was the whole Kevin Durant to Warriors thing that got vetoed apparently. And then that all came about. You know, what are kind of your big takeaways from this week?
This absolutely has to be the most league shifting one. There's probably been a deadline with more moves, guys, but not with one as big as the Luka move. And then Jimmy finally gets out of Miami. Of course, you guys know all about the Ingram deal, and I'm sure we'll get to that. But there's so many different moments over the last week where you're kind of like, oh, whoa, okay. I mean, this is going to have an after effect for a while. And of course it starts with the Luka deal, because absolutely nobody saw that coming. I mean, why would you give away a guy who's 25 years old, who just keeps showing up on the all NBA team year after year after year, and then move him and seem to stun the entire sporting world? So no, I haven't seen something like this deadline, but of course it starts with that Luka move. And a week later, I'm still in shock, because I can't believe that that thing actually went down the way that it did. But we'll see who ends up being right. I just can't believe that Dallas would give him up and get back a guy in Anthony Davis, who, again, you all well know down there, very good player, but if he's not on the floor because of injuries, it really, really hampers anything that team can do.
Yeah, I think the strange thing to me is, like, we went through a similar, I guess it's different, but similar in the sense that, okay, you're going to trade Anthony Davis, but that saga went on for months. Like, you shopped around, you figured out, will you sign here, will you sign here? You know, what's the best deal? It feels like the Mavs just kind of were like, oh, you want Luka? Okay, you can have him. What are you going to give us? Like, I feel like other GMs would have jumped at the opportunity to be like, oh, we'll beat that offer. Like, what is your read on that?
The thing that makes the most sense in the reporting that's come out over the last few days is that Dallas wanted to move Luka, but they wanted to do it in a way that it wouldn't get out at all. So in that regard, they kind of push themselves into their own corner, because I think we'd all agree, if you let it be known that Luka was going to be available, they could have gotten a hell of a lot more in any kind of package that came back. But if you want to keep it secret and you don't want Luka to come out and say, well, I'm not going to re-sign there, and that's going to significantly lower the value, then it makes a little bit more sense why you'd say, all right, we believe Anthony Davis can be some sort of missing piece, and we want to do this deal now because we don't want him, Luka, to get wind of what's happening, because there's so much money on the line. And now in his case, he's lost a ton because he can't sign that super max. So it's never going to fully make sense. You've got to believe that this came all the way up from the top and the new ownership structure in the Mavs organization. But it was truly a shocker, and especially I think the Davis point is very well taken. With the way the trade seemed to go in the NBA and have for so long, everything's a waiting game. Well, let's see what we can get from this team, and let's see what can happen if we let it play out a little bit longer. Never do deals come together this quickly behind the scenes with nobody finding out. It did in this case. It is a stunner, and we're going to find out over the next few years if Dallas made the right play in not tying themselves up with a player that they clearly didn't want to give that type of mega extension to.
Nick, when you look at the Pelicans, were you hearing any kind of buzz around Zion Williamson? I felt like there was a number of different, you know, branches out there saying that, you know, there were teams interested in and looking at Zion and maybe acquiring him, and was kind of getting, you know, interested to see if the Pels would in fact deal him, but wondered if any of that was really legit or just trade rumors, you know, blowing.
Yeah, it felt like the wind was just blowing. It didn't feel like anything ever got to the point where you thought, oh, okay, maybe this actually makes sense. I think the problem for the Pels in this case is they just don't want to sell that low on Zion. And you know, guys, the teams have been calling. I mean, they see the talent. We all have. He just cannot stay on the floor consistently. He has not shown that at any point here over the last few years. So the trade rumors and the chatter, that's not going to stop. He's got to show that he can be out there game after game after game. The problem for the Pelicans is if you're trying to hit the button again or rebuild on the fly, you know, take whichever direction you want as far as the terminology goes, I still wouldn't trust Zion to be the guy you always wanted him to be, which is going to mean that the trade chatter is not going to stop. So did I think anything would actually get done before the deadline with Zion? No. But do I think that it will just continue to churn away until ultimately he ends up somewhere else? Yeah, because I don't think that his long-term future is in New Orleans. Again, the problem for the Pelicans is you have to decide if you can stay in that professional relationship with him, and where does that take you? And right now, we all know this is a team that is going absolutely nowhere, and they can't seem to get things to a point where you think that there's any kind of momentum that's going to change.
Nick, I'm going to disagree with you. They are going somewhere. It's just straight to the bottom. All right. sorry, I couldn't.
Now, that's the problem.
That's true. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about the other guy that actually was traded. You alluded to it, Brandon Ingram. You know, he went to the Raptors in exchange for Bruce Brown Jr., Kelly Olynyk, the center, first-round pick, which is actually the Pacers' top four protected pick in 2026, and then a second rounder. It was a surprise to me, not in the sense that Brandon Ingram was traded, but that he landed with the Raptors, a team that is also kind of going nowhere. And, you know, it was odd to me because, you know, I felt like he was going to go to somewhere that maybe they saw him as a rental and he could help them in a playoff chase. Do you get the feeling that the Raptors are going to try to sign Ingram to a major extension? How do you feel like both sides fared in that trade?
As far as Ingram with the Raptors, Toronto, I mean, historically, they've had a tough time getting guys not only to get there, but to stay there. The key with Ingram seems to be, you know, he wants to get paid. More power to him. He's earned that right. New Orleans just didn't seem to want to give him that extension. Maybe Toronto does. So you've got to believe that if there are two sides that are willing to make that happen, maybe he is a fit long-term there. As far as the return, if you're Toronto and you believe that Brandon Ingram can be the 1A type of player paired with somebody else, you know, go for it. I really like Ingram's game, but guys, we've been having this conversation for the last few years with Ingram. He's a really good player. I think the perspective changes when that next contract hits, though. Is that the type of guy you want to tie yourself up to financially for years and years to come at the number that it's going to take? It wouldn't be for me, which is clearly the decision that New Orleans made. So, you know, it's worth the dice roll for Toronto that has struggled to find stars that want to stay there. As far as New Orleans goes, you get your first-round pick. You get your cap relief. I mean, you'd like to have gotten maybe another younger piece. That didn't happen. The writing has been on the wall for this divorce, though, for a long time. So in that regard, you kind of get what you get and you try to move forward. Again, The problem for the Pels is, what do you do with Zion? And I know that's a daily conversation down in New Orleans now. And so you get rid of Ingram, and then what? I mean, this is just, when you have a bad team and you're trading away one of the largest pieces that you have on that bad team, and you're getting draft capital and maybe the ability, the mirage sometimes in the NBA, to go find somebody else, that is a long, long road. And I can't imagine being a Pelicans fan right now and being energized by anything that you're seeing now or in the foreseeable future.
No, the availability, unavailability of Zion has definitely been frustrating here. We heard from him, you know, he was dealing with a sickness, and then he talked to the media saying he wants to play in back-to-back games. It's the team that's holding him back. And then the next day, oh, he's out again because he's dealing with another sickness. And so it's just, it keeps being frustrating. A bright spot, though, at least for this Pels team, has been the development and the continued growth of a guy in Trey Murphy. Just wondering what you've seen out of him and what you're liking about the youngster's game.
Murphy has come to a point, guys, where he's really about to, it seems, hit a completely different level. I mean, I judge it on not only what I'm seeing on TV night after night, but it does crack me up when I start to look down at my phone and my buddies who are following the league just as much as I am are going, hey, you see this kid down in New Orleans? Like, it's starting to click for him even more. So the reports have been good, and you'd like the progression that you're seeing. The problem, though, is this was a Pels team that was supposed to take that jump, and it was going to be with Zion and Ingram. Now Ingram's gone. Zion, who knows? I mean, with Trey, like, great. You know, he looks really good, and it seems like he's coming along. But I don't have to tell y'all, there are so many steps between where they are and where they're going to need to be to get some kind of push going. You take the positivity where you can, but the reality hits, and the reality is, this is a team that is a long ways away, even if they get another couple guys that take that next step from being anything on that national stage.
Well, the Pels are sitting at the bottom of the Wild Wild Western Conference, sitting at top of that one seed. Oklahoma City Thunder, 40-9 record, really been impressive. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, obviously a stud. They're going to be getting Chet Holmgren back. Pels got to play Sacramento three times in the last four matchups for them. But that one game that they do have is OKC on Monday, and just wondering what kind of buzzsaw is this Pels team heading into in Oklahoma City, man?
I think the key with the Thunder right now is Shai's playing at an MVP level, but those guys have almost a college mentality in the way they go out and produce night after night. This is what happens when you've got a team that has been together for a little bit of time, and you've got younger guys on that roster who are hungry to prove themselves game after game. They're well coached, they know where to be, and they trust each other on the floor. So it's not to say that the Thunder can't be beat. I mean, hell, the Warriors got them last week, and you went, oh, okay, maybe the Warriors are starting to turn around, but then they got drilled in the next game, and they get Jimmy Butler now, and we'll see what happens. But with the Thunder, this is a legit title contender. They have the star up top that makes everything go, but they have a roster full of guys that play defense and that trust one another. And when you have that, especially in a young group, if they can somehow stay healthy over the next few years, you've got to believe that their time is coming.
Nick, definitely always appreciate your time. Wish you were down here with us. You got a pick for the Super Bowl on Sunday?
I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes.
Right, I get it.
I'm not doing it. I've learned my lesson. I'm not making that mistake. Maybe the Eagles get him, sure, but at least I'll be able to sleep easier. I'm not betting against that dude.
Always appreciate the time. Nick Friedel, thank you so much. We'll be talking to you soon. Have a great one.
All right, you too, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedel. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a Hyundai at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Taking a break, we'll be back with more sports talk from the Deconstructing Morio Convention Center right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Convention Center Radio Row as they break it all down. Powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak hitting the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We got Tony in Gentilly wanting to sound off on some Saints news. What you got for us, Tony?
What's up, man? Hey, man, I want to talk a little Saints football. I know the hype this week is the big Super Bowl in New Orleans, which is a great thing for the metro area in the city. Brings everybody together and alive. That's awesome. Good experience. But I want to talk about, man, the guy that's possibly going to get the head coaching job, Kellen Moore. I personally think, as a Saints fan, the guy is too young. He doesn't have enough experience, and I believe it's just falling in his lap because nobody else wanted the job in New Orleans. I mean, what's going on with this? Why are we going to get a coach that has no experience as a head coach? He's only been an offensive coordinator for a few years, I believe, with the Cowboys, and now 1 year with Philly, and you think he's head coach material? Man, I mean, you're rolling the dice with this guy.
You know, it's a good point. I will say, okay, he's been an offensive coordinator for 6 years in the NFL, which if you want to go back and look at Sean Payton was an offensive coordinator for 3 years in the NFL. He was 42, 43, I lose track, but he was a young guy when the Saints hired him. So I think from that perspective, you're on solid ground there. I think, you know, the age is overplayed in the sense that one of the reasons he's young is because he went straight from, hey, I'm a player for the Cowboys, to I'm a quarterbacks coach for the Cowboys in one offseason. So I guess, like, if he was 6 years older but he took a three-year break in between playing and coaching, and would that change things? Would the 3 years of life change how you are as a coach? I don't know, because I look at a guy that has 8 years of head coach or 7 years of coaching experience in the NFL, six as an offensive coordinator, four for the Cowboys. Then, he was scapegoated by the Mike McCarthy regime. I think that's fair to say, considering how that all ended. They had a top offense all four of those years. It wasn't like they were bad on offense. That's not what they lost. Went out to the Chargers. He was an offensive coordinator on Brandon Staley's staff. Now Brandon Staley's got fired. They cleaned house. So that's,
showed him the door there.
That's right. What happens. Goes to Philadelphia, kind of reinvents that offense that fell off a cliff last year.
For sure.
Nick Sirianni was kind of told, hey, you got to do something. this is not going well. He hired Vic Fangio as his defensive coordinator, Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator. They go 14-3. They're in the Super Bowl. So, I don't think that the experience is my issue with Kellen Moore, because every first-time head coach was a first-time head coach at some point. Right? Like, you can't have coaching experience without being a head coach.
Right. What was everybody's feeling when they got Sean Payton, a guy nobody knew about, really?
And I mean, like, Dan Campbell wasn't a head coach before he was hired as a head coach. So, I don't know. I don't think that not being a head coach before is my issue with him, because, then your options are limited to also ran head coaches. And, if you were a great head coach, typically you're not going to be on the market. And, yeah, I think they would have loved to get Mike Vrabel, but Mike Vrabel, sure, wasn't that guy.
That Aaron path Glenn, was clear there, right?
Aaron Glenn was one of their top targets. He's going to be a first-time head coach. But no, I don't think – Kellen Moore was not at the top of my list. And I do think there is some truth to the fact that, okay, a lot of guys at the top of your list didn't take the job. That doesn't mean Kellen Moore can't be a good candidate for your job. It does seem like it's falling into his lap a little bit, and I think we are a victim of recency bias here in the sense that, yeah, the Eagles are dominating, and suddenly their offensive coordinator is the guy I want as my head coach. Sure. But I do think that he brings a really intriguing skill set, and he is an offensive mind, an offensive wizard, and I think the Saints want to get back to that, kind of rebuild our offense, be an offensive-led staff, and then we can find the defense.
Son of a coach, been around this all his life,
right.
Eat, breathe, sleep kind of thing.
Former player, 6 years as a – or I think it was 6 years – 8 years as a pro, I don't have the number in front of me, but multiple seasons, obviously, as a backup quarterback in the NFL, started a ton of games at Boise State.
Played the game, knows the game.
Yeah, so he's a football mind. I do. My question for Kellen Moore is he ready to lead a locker room? Is he ready to lead a group?
I'm right with you on that.
And I don't know if his personality screams that to me right now. I could be wrong, but when I hear him talk It's you kind of get that, like, okay, you know, I'm kind of a football nerd. Ben Johnson's the same way. I don't think Ben Johnson is a quote unquote leader of men.
Although look at a guy like Andy Reid, who's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Andy Reid.
He's that lovable, you know, fellow.
Yeah, but you have to look at his time in Philly, and that's so long ago.
Sure.
You know, it's hard to compare Andy Reid to anybody. But I, you know, you look back at, okay, how did Sean Payton succeed? He came in as that offensive wizard and found a way, but he also did it with kind of a no apologies mentality. It was like, I'm going to do things my way.
And you're going to do it in Denver.
And you're going to do it my way, or you're going to get out of the way, right? And I think that's what you need your head coach to do, and I'm not sure Kellen Moore is ready to do that. I think it's fair to be critical of the move, but the Saints will at least be able to say we got our guy, and I think that's the best you can hope for at this point.
Yeah, the inexperience and the youth, it's not a factor for me. I'm more worried about, like you said, Jeff, is can he be that leader of men in the locker room? Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We're at the Host Committee Media Center on Radio Row, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Be right back with more. Stay tuned on WWL. Who dat? Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, bring you till 8 o'clock tonight. We're going to have some interviews for you the next hour. We'll check in on our Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat. For all you football fans, tomorrow, want to take a trip out to Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, and see the Cajun Cannon and Mike Dettillier? Well, the two Cajuns will be at the Silver Slipper Casino for a big game Saturday. Second guest. They're going to analyze the Eagles and Chiefs, sizing up the players, all having a good time at the second guest at the Silver Slipper Casino with Bobby and Mike. Join them tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 4 or till they get tired of talking on WWL. You know those two. Wind them up and they can go. Looking at the Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs, the line now on ESPN Bet is gone to a pick'em. So originally it had opened with the Kansas City Chiefs as 1.5-point favorites. Now this game is an even matchup, a pick'em going into it with the under-over total of 48.5. We'll take a break, get into our news, then come back talking more about Super Bowl 59 right after this on WWL.